In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In a month's time, the excitement, hope, and anticipation of a new year will come crashing back to reality. And man will realize that life continues on as it has for years and centuries before, with joys and disappointments, health and sickness, births and deaths, blessings and troubles. Man's hope for a new year, that it can bring something better, something new and different, he will quickly realize that he has little control over what happens in the upcoming year. He is simply at the mercy of whatever is moving this world forward. And yet the Christian recognizes that God is the one who orders all things. It is his world. And he has ordered it by his word, so that all men might come to know his salvation. So the Lord Almighty controls the seasons, the days, and the years, and all the details in between. But man is right about one thing. He needs to get rid of the old and move on to the new. And so our Lord appeared to Abraham and told him to cut off his flesh. Cast aside the old fallen flesh that drives man into sin, and put on the new man, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Circumcision was a sign and seal of the righteousness of the heart. It did not give faith, but it testified to the faith that dwelt in the heart. It also placed a man under the law of God. Anyone who was circumcised was obligated to keep the entire law, the dietary restrictions, the sacrifices, the trips to the temple, the distinctions between clean and unclean, among many others. They had been set apart as God's own people, cut off from the sinful world to live a holy life to the praise and glory of God. He ordered their lives by his word. But no man could perfectly keep that word of God. The law was a heavy burden for Israel. And so the knife for cutting off the flesh was made of stone, for it is nothing more than a chip taken from the two tablets of stone. For this is what the law demands: blood, the removal of flesh. And those who refuse to cut off the old fallen flesh will be cut off from God in the fires of hell. And so circumcision was also a reminder that God must come and save man. The promise was embedded in the flesh of Abraham. It stood as a sign and a testimony of a better flesh, a better blood, a better death, a better covenant that could bring something new and something different, the promised land of heaven. Circumcision served the promise of the gospel. And so it was put in place until the seed of Abraham was born of the virgin. When the time had fully come, he who spoke with Abraham became Abraham's seed. He who commanded circumcision was subjected to the knife. His sinless flesh was cut off and cast away. But as his blood began to flow, the name Jesus was spoken, for he will save his people from their sins. Today, this 8-day-old child begins his messianic work, shedding his blood, even as an infant, to secure our salvation. And by this, he himself is placed under the law. He has come to redeem those under the law. And so God can't simply turn a blind eye. He can't ignore the sins of man. The law must be fulfilled. He must be true to himself and true to his word. The wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ placed himself under the law so that he might keep the law in our place. He was not free to live however he wanted. Though he was God, he did not do whatever it pleased him. The law must be fulfilled. This is why he came. And so he made it his custom to go to the synagogues on the Sabbath and busy himself with the word of God. He observed the dietary regulations, the distinctions between clean and unclean. He went to the temple on the appointed feast days. And he kept the law of God perfectly in our place. And to our surprise, he even commanded the people to listen to the scribes and the Pharisees, for they sat in the seat of Moses. So Christ remained a perfect man. He loved God and he loved his neighbor. And so he had no need for circumcision. Circumcision is for the sinner, much like baptism is for the sinner. There is no fallen flesh to symbolically cut off or remove. So today, Christ does something new and something different. He appoints himself as the sinner in our place. He takes our place under the knife to fulfill what we could not fulfill. The law cuts him and wounds him. He sheds his blood to reconcile us to God. His infant cries testify to the curse of the law that he takes upon his tiny shoulders. Yet he does it willingly, for the law must be fulfilled. We must be redeemed. Nothing is for himself. Nothing is simply for show. But he does all things to make a new beginning, a new creation, to get rid of the old, the wicked, and the fallen, so that we might be a people unto God. The stony law will demand all of his blood on Calvary. The knife then is set aside for a scourge and nails and spear. He submits to the curse of the law and the results are deadly. The law cuts him and wounds him and his blood pours forth to pay for our sins. And through it all, he remains our substitute. He who gave circumcision and fulfilled it is cut off from the land of the living, forsaken by his God, and his dead, lifeless flesh is cast away in an empty tomb. But on the eighth day, the day of circumcision, he rises from the dead as a new creation. It is the first day of eternity, the beginning of what is new. The old is gone, the new has come, for by his death he has secured forgiveness for all men. God punished him as the sinner, for he bore the curse of the law. And so when God raised him from the dead, he forgave Christ all our sins. He rises with a glorious body, for sin is cut off from him. Death has been cut off from him, so he rises to life immortal. Christ earned this forgiveness, this new life, and now he lives to freely distribute it to all people. So the status of our flesh has changed because of Christ. When his flesh was cut, circumcision was fulfilled for you. When his flesh keeps the law is fulfilled for you. When his flesh dies, the curse is removed from you. Believing in him, you are circumcised with a better circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. The wicked old flesh is cut off from you, and you live for God. His righteousness covers you, and you are filled with his Holy Spirit. And so it is Christ who brings you into something new, something different. He gives you hope and anticipation, for you live in the new day of salvation, certain of the inheritance of the promised land. You die to the flesh, and now you live by the Spirit. So it is in the flesh of Christ that we find something new, something that truly gives us hope for the future, something that removes the old repetition of each calendar year and all the baggage that always comes with it. He's only 8 days old today, but he already is your Savior, your substitute. He already is Jesus, for he has saved us from our sins. A blessed Christmas to you all, and may God bestow his richest blessings upon you in this year of his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.